السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 43 to 46 of Surah An'am. We'll start off with the word meanings, beginning with ayat 43, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Fa is the prefix here and it means then or so. Low, why, la, not, if, when, ja'a, came, hum, them. So ja'a hum means came to them. Ba'suna, Batsu means hardship. Na, ours. Tadarra'u. Tadarra'u, they humbled themselves. They became humble. They implored. And we know that the waw alif at the end of this verb means that this is plural. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about a lot of people. Okay, and it's in the past tense. So tadarra'u, they humbled themselves, they implored. Walakin, wa and lakin, but qasat, became hard. Qulubuhum, qulub is the plural form of the word qalb, which means heart. So qulub, hearts, hum, theirs, wa and. Zayyana, he adorned or he beautified, he made fair seeming. La, for or to whom, them, ash-shaytanu, the shaytan. Ma, what, kanu, they were, ya'malun, they do, or they, ma kanu, what they used to, ya'malun, they do. Ayn, mim, lam. Amal is the root word and that means to do something. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person and una ending makes this word plural. So ya'malun, they do. Fa, so, lamma, when, nasu, they forgot. Noon seen is the root word nisa and that means to forget. Nasu is in the past tense, it's a verb and it's plural. It's speaking about a lot of people, we know because it ends in waw alif. So falamma nasu, so when they forgot, ma, whatever, dhukiru, they were reminded. Dhikr is the root word and that means a reminder. Dhukiru is passive and it ends in waw alif, so we know that it's talking about a lot of people. So dhukiru, they were reminded. Be, with or of, he, it. Fatahna. Fataha is the root word and that means to open. Okay, fatah, opened. Na, we, alay, upon, him, them. Abawaba. Abawab is the plural form of the word bab, which means a door. Abawab, doors or gates. Kulli, all or every, shay'in, things. Hatta, until, idha, when, farihu, they rejoiced, they became happy. Bi, with, ma, what, utu, they were given. And this is also in the passive form. So bima, with whatever, utu, they were given. Akhadhnahum. Khudh is the root word and that means to take. Akhadhna, We took firmly. We seized. Na is the pronoun here, meaning we, whom, them. Baghtatan. Baghta means suddenly, unexpectedly. Fa'idha. Fa, so. Idha. Then, whom, they. Mubilisoon. Ones who despair. Fa'kutiya. Fa, so. Kutiya was cut. This is also in the passive form. So, fa'kutiya. So, it was cut. Dabiru. Dabir means root. Al-qawmi, of the people or nation. Alladina, those who. Zolamu, they wronged or they were unjust. Walhamdu, wa, and al, the, hamd, praise and thanks. So walhamdu, and all the praise and thanks. Lillahi, li, only for Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbi, Lord, creator, master, sustainer. Al-alamin, the worlds. Al means that, and alamin, worlds or universes. Kul, say. And we see that the kul is a command, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he says kul. So say, ara'aytum, in the beginning is used to ask a question. So did. Ra'a means to look at something, to see something. So ra'aytum. Tum at the end means you, all of you. So ara'aytum, did you all see or did you all consider? In, if, akhadha, he took. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning he took away. Sama'akum, sama'a means hearing. Kum, yours. Wa, and. Abasara, sights. Kum, yours. Wa, and. Khatama, he sealed. Ala, upon. Kulubikum, kulub, hearts. Kum, yours. Man, who. Ilahun is God. Ghayru, other than Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yatikum, yati means he comes. Kum, to all of you. And then we see the word, the next word begins with a ba, right? So when somebody comes with something, in English it makes more sense to say he brings something, right? So, man hu ilahun is God, ghayru, other than Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya'tikum, he brings to all of you, bihi, it. Okay, but if we want to say he comes to you, then we have to say with it. Unzur, this is a command, and it means look or see. Kayfa, how, nusarrifu, we present. In different ways, we present diversely. Al ayati, the verses or ayat, the signs. Thumma, then whom, they, yasdifun, they turn away. Sadafa is the root word, and that means to turn away. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So whom yasdifun, they. Are averse or they turn away. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So in ayah number 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. This is what we covered up to last week. And we learned in this ayah that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends hardships and adversities to people so that they would return to Him, so they would humble themselves and turn back to Him. There is a hadith, a qudsi, meaning a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that says, there are some slaves of mine who would leave me if I gave them wealth. So I don't give them a lot of wealth. And there are others among my slaves who would leave me if I made them needy. So I grant them wealth. There are some slaves of mine who would leave me if they got ill. So I grant them good health. But some of my slaves would leave me if I granted them health. So I let them stay ill. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us in all conditions. It's humans, it's people who rebel because they don't understand that He sends troubles to us sometimes to call us back to Himself. There is divine wisdom behind everything that happens. Think about how people trust doctors, how they trust surgeons to operate on them, and they allow them to even cut off their body parts as needed because they know that it's going to help restore their health. Right? They trust that surgeon so much that they let him take control and cut or do whatever they need to. Right? But why don't we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a similar way? Why don't we just hand ourselves over to Him and trust that He will do what's best for us? He knows what's best for us. And just trust Him. Know that He will do what's best for me. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to leave sins behind. He says to turn away from sins and turn back to Him. And that's why He sends problems our way. Okay? It's a way of Him calling us back to Himself. And people do turn back to Him when they face problems. They usually do. But there are some who still don't turn back to Him. Even when they go through the most difficult things in life, they don't turn back to Him. And they say that good and bad things happen in life. So it's okay. It's a normal part of life. That's what they think. And this is what they tell other people too when they're going through difficulties. They say that it's normal. Life has its ups and downs. Instead of reminding them that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of calling them back to Himself. Okay, He sends trials our way sometimes to call us back to Him. But there are times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends trials to people to actually test them, to see what they would do. And some people are already very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, they have so much taqwa. But they face problems in life too. And we think, why are they going through troubles when they're already so mindful of Allah? They have so much taqwa in their hearts that it's just so apparent to us. So we wonder why they go through trials. And even when we read about the prophets, we know that they were the best of people. But we learn that they went through so many problems in life. Obviously, hardships were not sent their way to make them turn to Allah, because they were already on the right path. They were already so focused on Allah. The reason why people who are pious go through tests is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test them, to see how steadfast they are, or because He wants to elevate their ranks. He wants to raise their status. So it's different for each person, depending on their situation and depending on how they live their lives. But for many people, when problems come their way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically sending them a message to call them towards Himself. He's telling them to come back to him. They may think that problems or difficulties are bad, but that problem or difficulty they're facing may help them turn back to him. So there may be lots of khair or goodness in that problem for them. That problem that they're facing, there might be goodness in it. And as for people who don't listen and they don't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا. Then why did they not humble themselves when the suffering overtook them? Why didn't they humble themselves? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked people why they don't humble themselves before him when they go through ba's, when they experience hardships. Instead of bowing before him and turning to him, they start complaining about things. They complain about the situation and ask, why me? They ask why something had to happen to them. Why especially them? And they become even more stubborn. They continue sinning. وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. On the contrary, their hearts became hardened even more. Instead of becoming soft and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in humility, their hearts hardened. People like that get upset and they dare to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead when they're going through hardships, saying that they didn't get anything from praying, they didn't get anything out of it. Astaghfirullah. So people like that become distant from Allah when they face problems in life. They turn to other extremes. And they start doing everything that goes against Islam. They don't even want to hear the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hearts become even harder instead of being softened by that problem. And hardening of the hearts is a sign of misfortune. It's a sign of wretchedness. That person does not experience any goodness once their heart is hardened. We learned in Surah Al-Baqarah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said some hearts become even harder than rocks. That's how hard they become. The people he mentioned in that surah, in Surah Al-Baqarah, in that part, he said they went through trials and their hearts hardened after those trials, instead of becoming soft and pure. That's what trials should have done to them. Their hearts should have softened and they should have turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But their hearts became so hard that they became even harder than rocks. And when that happens, obviously, nothing good would come from them. Just like flowers and fruits and vegetation don't grow from rocks, nothing good comes out of them. Because plants grow in soil, which is soft. Even if a seed is planted on a rock, right? A seed may be planted where there's a rock, that seed will not sprout. And this is how hardened hearts are. Okay? Hearts that are even harder than rocks are the type that don't absorb any of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat. They don't absorb his messages. Instead of becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts become even harder. Then they don't understand anything. They think they're right even when they do something bad. They truly believe that they're not doing anything wrong because they're so arrogant. They become arrogant instead of becoming humble. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Shaitan made their sinful acts seem fair to them. He adorned and beautified their bad deeds for them, So they thought they're doing good things. And how does Shaitan do that to people? Because he makes people present excuses for whatever wrong they do. And he makes them think it's no big deal. Whatever they're doing wrong is no big deal. Or he makes them think about the one good thing they do. Okay, the one good thing that they are doing, he makes them think of that. And they think it's okay if they do so many other sinful things with it too, as long as they're doing that one good thing. There have been cases where people actually rob others, and they use that money to feed poor people, the needy people. And then they claim that they're doing something good. They try to justify their wrongdoing, but that still doesn't make their actions acceptable. It's still wrong to rob people, right? Even if they're trying to do something good with that money. That money has to be earned in a lawful way to be spent in for a good cause. Okay, just spending it to do something good does not make it acceptable to rob people. It is still wrong. It's actually Shaitan who makes them think that it's okay to do something wrong like that, as long as they do other good things on the side. He makes them think that their sins are good, as if it's not even an issue if they do bad things. Sometimes he makes them think that it's fine because everyone else is doing it, so it's not really a big deal. And once they start thinking that their actions are beautiful, they don't realize that they're sinning. They think that they're doing great things. So then they don't mind doing such things. That's why Shaitan beautifies their actions for them, even though they're committing sin. So this is what happens when people don't turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility when they face problems in life. Either their hearts become even harder, or their bad deeds seem fair to them. If people go through problems and continue to sin, they become stubborn. Okay, and they persist in sin. No matter how many troubles and problems come their way, they just carry on doing whatever they're doing wrong. They don't even sense that they're doing anything wrong. And that's how the Muslim Ummah has become too now. We face so many problems as an Ummah. Hardships come in all different ways to our Ummah. But instead of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility, our hearts harden. The Muslim Ummah starts to increase in their sins. They have been increasing in sinning and their wrongdoing and corruption without even realizing that they are actually sinning. They don't even think it's sinful. Disasters strike, but they still don't think of it as a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never think that it's a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling them back towards Himself. They still don't wake up, and they justify their actions in a beautiful way. For people who do such things, they don't listen, even after they receive the message from the prophets. They don't listen. They face hardships, adversities, losses, and pain and suffering, but they still don't humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. So, when they forgot the warning they had received, what was the warning? What was the reminder that they received? It was to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the book of Allah. They threw the book behind their backs and they forgot the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happened as a result? That's coming up next. And this is the second way he makes people turn back to him. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Then we opened the gates of every kind of prosperity for them. Instead of punishment, he granted them so much of everything. They were granted all kinds of blessings, honor, luxuries of this life, wealth, comforts, health, ease, all different types of khair. There was no problem in their lives whatsoever. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the gates of prosperity for people? Why does he do that? So maybe they would turn back to him then, since they had not turned back to him in adversity and suffering. So he gives them a chance to turn back to him, maybe through their blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them. So maybe they would humble themselves before him. But that's rare. Okay? It usually does not happen that way. People usually become even more stubborn when they're granted a lot of blessings. And they continue sinning because they think they're not doing anything wrong. They believe that they would not have been blessed with so much prosperity and ease if they had been wrong. So they think they're not doing anything wrong. They think Allah is happy with them or he wouldn't have given them so much. They turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. They become even more distant from Islam, happily, thinking that they're fine just the way they are. However, they were not granted those blessings as a reward for being good. Instead, they were granted blessings so they would recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful for everything he granted them. But they don't understand that. Until they rejoice, they become so happy and caught up with enjoying their blessings, bima utu, in what they were given. They were so busy rejoicing in their blessings. Akhadnahum baghtatan, we suddenly seized them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized them when they were taking those blessings for granted. And when they were thinking that they would continue doing whatever they were doing wrong, they would continue in their wrongdoing and still continue to enjoy those blessings. They thought they could just enjoy themselves the way they had been, since things had been going so well. They completely forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they didn't even think for a second that their blessings would be taken away from them. And this is what happens when people enjoy the favors of Allah for such a long time. They start taking them for granted, as if they would always continue receiving them. Okay, that there's going to be no end to them. People don't understand what it's like to experience hunger, poverty, or deprivation when they never experience any hard times in life. They don't know what it feels like. Since they enjoy the blessings of Allah all throughout their lives, they enjoy His favors all throughout life. They expect things to stay that way. They don't even think that they have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings they have, because they have always had them. They don't think it's something special that they need to thank him for, to be grateful for. They take those blessings for granted. And when people are constantly blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become fearless. They're not afraid anymore. And they think that things will always be the same for them. They never bother to think that it may be istidraj. Istidraj means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives fortunes to someone who disobeys him. Okay, not out of love for that person, but to destroy them. He leads them from one condition to the next. So that sinner is granted worldly prosperity and comfort. which leads them to further sin and their eventual destruction. That person never repents. That person doesn't turn back. He brings that person near to punishment by degrees, gradually. That's what istidraj means, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings that person closer to punishment in degrees, slowly, one step at a time. When you take the example of someone who lives in a tent somewhere, someone who's struggling, that person has no light, right? They don't have electricity. They don't have a nice mattress to sleep on. They don't have a warm bed or even heat in winter. They don't have air conditioning over the summer. But that person survives even without all these things. Right? And then there's another person who has always enjoyed a luxurious life. If something happens and everything is taken away from that person, they can't take it anymore. They just can't bear it because they're so sensitive. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ So then they despair. They become hopeless. They start thinking that they would never experience any goodness in life again. They're shocked and they are depressed at that point. They lose all hope. That person just can't bear it. The person who lives in a tent and faces difficulties becomes even more resilient. And they're not overly sensitive. But someone who has always lived a good life can't bear the discomfort. They can't stand that loss that they're going through. When we're granted a lot of blessings in life, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us a lot of favors, we should be cautious and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it doesn't become the reason for us being seized. We should make dua that He makes us humble and obedient to Himself after we are granted blessings. Okay? Because sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does seize people like that. He grants them so many blessings that they don't even bother to remember Him. And then they're suddenly seized. They're suddenly punished. Okay? And that becomes the reason for their destruction. Because they had so many blessings that they got caught up in that they never even remembered Him. So a lot of people despair when their blessings or the favors they have in life are suddenly taken away. We should remember always that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a lot of His favors or blessings upon us. When He does that, it doesn't mean that He is really happy with us. It doesn't mean that we're doing everything perfectly. And if He doesn't grant us things that other people enjoy, that we see others around us having, it doesn't necessarily mean that He's upset with us. Okay, that's not how we can judge what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of us. Being granted a lot of favors is not proof that He's definitely happy with us. He may be granting us a lot of blessings of this world. A lot of the comforts and luxuries of this world, but that doesn't mean He's happy with us. Astaghfirullah, that may lead to our destruction if we don't humble ourselves before Him and thank Him for everything. If we don't recognize Him, even after all the ways He has blessed us, we have to remember that. Also, when a blessing is taken away from us, we shouldn't start thinking that Allah is angry with us. It may just be a test for us to see how we react in that situation. So whatever comes our way, whether it's comfort or discomfort, we should be mindful that it may be a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizing someone disobedient, seizing us when we're being disobedient. Or maybe it's a way for Him to teach me while I'm disobedient a lesson so that I will turn back to him before it's too late, before the end of my life approaches. We just don't know. So we should be very humble when he bestows his favors upon us. And we have to remain humble and grateful no matter what state we're in. And that's why Imam Hasan Basri radiallahu anhu said, when someone thinks that Allah is happy with them because they have an abundance of favors in life, they're not being sensible. Maybe it's his way of giving them respite temporarily, like the calm before the storm. And as for someone who loses hope for mercy from Allah when adversity strikes, that person is also foolish. After saying that, he recited this ayah of the Quran. And then he said, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, there are actually people out there who get what they want and they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When their desires are fulfilled, then they're suddenly seized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of being grateful to him, they just think that they can get away with doing whatever they want, and they think that they can get whatever they desire. Qatada radiallahu anhu said, when a nation is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are granted a lot of blessings of this temporary life. And when they're really caught up with those blessings and they don't remember anything else, they don't bother thinking about anything else besides enjoying those favors of Allah, they're suddenly seized. He said, oh people, try to recognize it when he grants respite. If you continue to be granted blessings, even when you disobey him, don't continue disobeying Allah. Don't increase in disobedience. That's what the evil people do. That's what the unfortunate, unlucky people do. They increase in disobedience. When they're granted respite, they just sin more and more and more. So we shouldn't look at people who enjoy a lot of blessings of this life, who have a lot of blessings, and think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them so much, so they're lucky. They're not lucky. Okay, that's not what it necessarily means. That might just be respite that they're given before their destruction. Especially when we see someone who is unjust, okay? Someone who is unfair. If they're granted a luxurious, healthy life that they enjoy, and they live long, healthy lives, oftentimes, people like that, when we look at them, we should know that it's just respite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, he's just giving them more time before that person is seized, before their ultimate destruction. A Musnad Ahmad hadith tells us, when you see someone sinful who continues to receive the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he is sinful, think of it as istidraj or respite. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this ayah after saying that. And this happens with nations and individuals. Okay, so it happens to nations as a whole that they think, oh, they've been getting away with whatever they're doing. They have so many blessings from Allah that they're doing well, and their economy is good. So they continue sinning. But it might just be a temporary time of respite that they're given before they're seized ultimately. And this happens to individuals too, so we should be very mindful of it. Okay, we should remember that just because I sinned once and he didn't seize me right away, and I sinned a second time and he didn't seize me after that, and a third time again, it doesn't mean I'm going to continue getting away with it. He's just giving me time out of mercy. Okay, so maybe I'll turn back to him. And if I don't, it leads to our destruction. Remember how Qarun had so many treasures? Someone foolish may have looked at him and thought that he was so lucky. And they probably wished for the things that he had, those great treasures. But think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suddenly seized him and how he was suddenly killed. That's when the wrongdoers are plunged into despair. فَقُتِيَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Thus we cut off the roots of the wrongdoers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all different kinds of messages to the wrongdoers to call them back to himself. He gave them chances so maybe they would think about what they're doing and turn back to him. But they didn't bother. They just don't bother to understand any of his messages. So their roots were cut off. They were wiped out as a whole. The whole nations were wiped out. Not even one person was left behind. And to be cut off by the roots also means, it can also mean that someone dies and there's nobody who even remembers that person after they're dead. That they leave behind no offspring, no child or grandchild or nobody who would even remember that person. We learned about the former ummas who were struck by punishments from the sky. One way or another, right? The adab came to them and seized them. We learned about Nuh alayhi salam's people, Lut alayhi salam's people, the Ad and the Thamud. They were all wiped out because of their wrongdoing, because of the injustice they committed. So we should never be deceived when we see people enjoying the temporary blessings of this life while they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in the Quran, that do not let the movement of the disbelievers deceive you. When you see them moving about the earth, meaning enjoying the luxuries and their lives here on earth, do not let it trick you. Because that's not the ultimate success. It's going to lead to their destruction. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. Now, why are we suddenly told this? Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Why do we learn this after learning that nations are suddenly seized and their roots are cut off due to their disobedience? Why does it say Alhamdulillah for that? It's not because people experienced the punishment and they were seized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Alhamdulillah. Na'udhu billah, that's not the reason. Instead, it's because the wrongdoers were wiped off of the earth, which is a great blessing for everyone else. Because the unjust people were wiped off of the earth. So Alhamdulillah for that, because the zalimeen caused problems for so many people. So many people are wronged by them. They're treated unjustly. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes them from this earth, it's a form of mercy for people who live here, since the wrongdoers harmed them. That's why it says, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Qul ara'aytum, ask them, have you seen? Meaning, have you considered? Have you thought about? Now, this is another technique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to make people turn back to him. He tells them about Tawheed. He reminds them about how he is the one and only ilah. He says, In akhadha Allahu sam'akum wa absarakum. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away your hearing and your sight, if he were to take away your hearing and your vision, وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ, and he seals up your heart so that you don't absorb or understand anything good. So you don't benefit or understand anything that's good for you. You don't benefit from it. Allahu Akbar. Man ilahun ghayrullahi ya'tikum bihi. Is there any God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who could restore them to you? Can anyone return these great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you if they're taken away? We all know that hearing and vision are great blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can only value these things if we were to see someone who's blind or deaf. If we spend time with someone who's blind or deaf, we would recognize how great these blessings are for us, how important they are. A lot of times we don't even recognize these favors of Allah upon us. But if He wants, He can take away these abilities from us suddenly. Okay, so we wouldn't be capable of seeing or hearing. And if He does, nobody can bring these things back for us. And if He sets a seal on our hearts, there's nobody who can guide us to the right path after that. Alhamdulillah that we're sitting here today learning the Quran right now. But a lot of times, people start thinking that they're so good and they're the most pious out of all the people out there just because they spend a lot of time studying the Quran. We should know that it's due to Him granting people tawfiq that they spend time doing those things. Okay, it has nothing to do with them. It's because He granted them that ability. It's not because they're so great. If He sealed our hearts, we would not be able to understand or absorb anything that we're learning. From Hadith, we learn that our hearts are between the two Kareem fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolute power and dominion over everyone's hearts. He has absolute control. He can turn our hearts whichever way He chooses to. If He seals the heart, nothing would enter or come out of it. Okay, no matter what someone would hear, they would not benefit from it. Not even from hearing the Quran, because nothing would enter or come out of that heart. And they wouldn't even enjoy or want to hear the Quran in that case. And that capability of understanding it would be taken away. So, astaghfirullah, imagine if this happened to us. So it's not our own doing that we hear and understand the Quran. It's not from our own ability or choice that we're able to do that. It's out of His mercy that He lets us understand it. He lets us understand His word and absorb it. If He decided to seal our hearts, there's nobody who can help us. We see how so many people react when they're called to guidance, when they're called to learn the Quran, or to do what's right, right? To follow the truth. When they're called to Islam, they're not interested at all. No matter how much you invite them, and they act like their hearts are sealed, that they just won't let you in. They just don't want to hear it. And when someone's heart is sealed, who will bring back their ability to absorb and understand anything good? Nobody can do that besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, unzur, look at, nusarriful ayat, how we present our revelations over and over again in so many different ways. Thumma hum yastifoon, and yet they turn away. This is so simple. We can all easily understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us things in his ayat in so many different ways. So maybe we would understand from one way or another, one method or another, from one example or another. He gives us so many examples and he uses so many techniques. So maybe we'll learn. He has tried to guide us since the beginning of this surah, right? In so many ways, we've been learning about things he says to call us back to himself through so many different ayat and signs that he presents. But surprisingly, ثُمَّهُمْ يَسْتِفُونَ, then they still turn away. They leave the right path and they choose to follow the wrong one. In Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is the one who created you and he gave you the sense of hearing, sight, and feeling, meaning hearts. But you only thank him a little bit, very little. We don't even recognize these senses as favors of Allah upon us. And that's the reason why we never bother to really thank him for them. Because he granted us these blessings since we were born. We don't ever remember not having them, right? So we take them for granted. We use our eyes every single day, all the time. But we don't thank him when we see things with these eyes all day, when we look at things. We never remember to thank him. In another part of Surah Al-Mulk, he says, if your water was to sink deep into the ground, who would bring fresh flowing water for you? Who would grant you sustenance if he withholds it? In Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if Allah makes the night permanent for you, sarmada, meaning permanent, perpetual, who would be able to bring the light for you? Why don't people understand after hearing all these things? Man ilahun ghayrullah, who is the God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can help? Is there anyone else who can do these things for you besides Allah? Nobody else. Imagine if we were to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the breaths we have taken since we were born. All the times our hearts have beat. Okay? Since we were born, imagine all the times that our hearts have beaten. All the nights that we have slept peacefully. Can we thank him for them? All the times that we have blinked our eyes without any effort from us whatsoever. If we were to thank him for these things, it would be impossible to thank him for even one of these favors. If he thanked him for one thing, we wouldn't be able to thank him for the other. Think about how much oxygen we have breathed in since we were born. How much oxygen we've used. There's no way to thank him for that. Right? And the more we think about it, the more we realize that all we can say is فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? He gave us our eyes, he gave us ears, and he opened up our hearts. These are things that nobody else could have done for us. He made our hearts keep beating. He made us sleep, wake up, stay alive and breathe. And the heart is just one organ. Think about all the other organs. Think about how our brains have been working since we were born. Our eyes, ears, and our digestive systems, they've all been working since the moment we were born. Even before that, along with all other systems that are within our bodies. Subhanallah. It's amazing. We're not able to thank him the way we should. We are just not capable of doing that. It's impossible to thank him for all these things. But after enjoying all these favors from him, how can we dare to rebel against him? Or even think about disobeying him, even for a second? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he gave us ears. So we were told not to listen to anything that's not allowed. Okay, anything that he did not allow, how can we dare to listen to things that go against his rules? Things that he does not approve of. He gave us these eyes to be able to see his favors, to recognize his signs around us in the universe, to be able to see the ayat, the verses of the Quran, and to read them, to read his words. But so many times people use their eyes to look at things that he does not allow. They look at indecent things shamelessly. Is that what these eyes were meant for? The eyes and ears were meant to see and hear his signs, his ayat. And the hearts were meant to understand and recognize him. But people often use these sources of guidance in ways that they should not be used. They use them against him, to go against his orders. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their eyes, their ears, and their hearts useless. If he said that he's taking them away, their sense of hearing and seeing and feeling, he's taking it all away since they didn't use their ears or their eyes or their hearts for their actual purpose. If he took that ability away, who would be able to restore them for people? Allahu Akbar. Whenever someone looks at or listens to anything bad, or they think about bad things, they should listen to this ayah as a reminder. They should think about what would happen if we took away their ability to see, their ability to hear, or think properly. If he did that right away, if he sees them, what would happen? And that does happen to people sometimes. They suddenly lose their senses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these tools to use to connect to him, to recognize him. But a lot of people say that they don't have time to look at his ayat. Okay, to look at his verses or the signs around us in the universe. They say they don't have time to listen to his verses or to think about them, even though he sent them for us to reflect on. How can we say that we don't have time for him when he is the one who granted us these senses? Imagine what would happen if he took away these senses. Is there anyone who can bring them back for us? People can't buy ears, eyes, or hearts that are open to guidance anywhere in this world. Okay, they can't replace them if they get lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply explains that to us. And he says that we should not use these senses to disobey him. He's the one who granted them to us. So we should value them and use them the way they were intended to be used. And he can seize us right away when we disobey him through these senses. But he doesn't. He gives us time. He is so patient with us. He gives us chances to turn back to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to only use our senses in the ways that he has guided us, and to recognize him. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. We'll stop here for today, and inshallah we'll continue next week, starting with ayah number 47. Jazakumullahu khairan kaseera. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. آمين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.